Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for the Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Halloran, Sharon Bradley, Nancy Galway, and Phil Powers. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all the psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, everyone. My name is Nancy Galway, also known as Silver Wolf, and I would like to thank you for joining us this evening and welcome you to tonight's broadcast of The Psychic Viewpoint, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. Tonight, we are very excited to welcome to Psychic Viewpoint Anthony Hallett. Anthony is a consulting hypnotist and director of the Canadian Hypnosis Center, located in Ottawa, Canada. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-hosts, Sharon Bradley and Maureen Halloran and Phil Powers. Welcome, everyone.
Welcome, Nancy.
Hey.
Hi, Sharon.
How are you tonight? I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you. Very excited about hosting this evening.
Oh, you're
Sharon,
so good.
Could you tell us... Sharon, could you tell us about yourself and your abilities?
Sure. I do readings on PsychicAccess.com, and I don't use any tools like tarot or anything. I can hear and see from spirit, so that's how I do my readings. So, thank you.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Sharon.
Thank you.
And hi, Maureen. How are you?
I'm okay. I hope I'm okay. Thank you, and welcome to your first show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you.
And would you like to tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Well, I'm an intuitive advisor, and I help people help themselves, and I'm a tarologist. Well, and I work at PsychicAccess.com as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you, Maureen. And hi, Phil. How are you tonight?
Hey, Nancy. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And would you like to share a little bit about yourself and your abilities as well?
Sure. I am Phil or Magus, and I'm part of the Psychic Access family also. And I have fun actually being in the chat room. And I find the radio show both entertaining and educational. Basically, I use the tarot deck, a pendulum, the seas, guide spirits, higher powers, source energy, whatever you want to call it, and it just all kind of comes together. And that's
wonderful. Well, thank you, everybody. And tonight's show I'm really excited about, and I'm very delighted, and honored to welcome our special guest, Anthony Hallett. And Anthony is a certified consulting hypnotist. He's had many years of experience in the hypnosis profession, and he's the director of the Canadian Hypnosis Center. The Canadian Hypnosis Center is also a member of the National Guild of Hypnotists, and Anthony has spent 15 years working directly with people in people-focused industries, and he has developed a passion for supporting and motivating people to overcome their challenges, and has held many positions that require motivation of staff and teams. Originally a skeptic, he has now had first-hand appreciation for the power of hypnosis and its ability to transform lives. His own life was transformed after eliminating 50 pounds and setting himself free of a 23-year-old smoking habit by using the very same techniques he uses successfully to help other people succeed, which is quite an accomplishment. Anthony's goal is to continue to stay on the cutting edge of the hypnosis profession in order to continue to create the highest success rate possible for his clients. And for more information on Anthony, you can visit his website at www.canadianhypnosiscenter.com. And be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready to mark it down, because if you're like me, you forget. If you're unable to catch our show last week, you'll find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab, and please feel free to circulate the link and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out with our guides and connect with as many people as possible, so be sure to include others in our show. That'd be great. Welcome, Anthony. Are you there?
I am here. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you, and I'm so glad you're able to join us. This is a fascinating subject, and I'm personally very interested in hypnosis, and I'd love to learn how to do it eventually, but tonight I'm hoping that you'll tell everyone all about it.
Well, I'd be glad to.
Okay, and a lot of people don't really understand what the term hypnosis means, really. I mean, we all have some idea, and so could you tell us what hypnosis is?
Oh, just 1 minute. I think I've lost you a little bit here.
Okay.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay. There we
yep.
go. It seemed to have cut out a little bit.
Yeah, no, I can hear you.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
Okay, so there we go. A little technical difficulty.
Yeah, the challenges of technology.
Well, okay, so, and that question again was, sorry.
What hypnosis is, because there's not everybody really understands what it is.
Well, hypnosis is it's a state of mind. It is a state of relaxation. It's not what most people think, a state of sleep or loss of consciousness or only the weak-willed or the people who want to be dominated in a way that is quite untrue. Hypnosis is a focused state of awareness and concentration.
Okay.
It's a state of,
and
just, yes.
Okay. So is it dangerous? Because some people tend to think that, you know, like you said, it's not to influence the weak of mind, but can it be dangerous? Is it dangerous at all?
No, it's quite a relaxing and very peaceful state to be in. It's a natural state that we actually go through several times a day for some of us, and for the our young children and young adults are in that state pretty much all the time.
Okay. So does that mean they're very relaxed then, do you think?
Well, they're relaxed. Their minds are open. The young at heart, or our young children of today. But a natural state that we go through every day can be very like daydreaming. Hypnosis is very similar. Mm-hmm. A very peaceful nap, or as you fall asleep in the evening. Just before you go to bed, your brain waves begin to slow down, and just before you fall asleep, you go through this state of relaxation, a state of high suggestibility. And this is very similar to what hypnosis is. So it's something natural that we all go through. We're just unaware that that's what it is.
Okay. And do people, like you, we've all seen the shows where, you know, people are, hypnotized on the stage and they start to do things. And so do people do things under hypnosis that is against their morals or against their will?
No.
Okay.
Under hypnosis, you cannot be made to do anything that you wouldn't normally do, or it's against your morals, or would endanger your safety or the safety of someone else. I've attempted the suggestion for someone to rob a bank and bring me the money, but that hasn't happened yet.
It didn't work.
No, it doesn't work. unless they're so already inclined, and they were bank robbers to begin with, then they might.
Okay.
But then they wouldn't bring me the money. They wouldn't bring me those sacks of money. So no,
that's right.
It's a very safe state to be in. It's very comfortable, and I haven't had any calls from the local hospitals calling me in an emergency that someone was stuck in hypnosis. It's not hypnosis is a state that we put ourselves in. So all hypnosis is self-hypnosis in a way. So if we allow it to happen, then it will happen. It does skate a fine line between awake and asleep. And if for any reason my voice were to go silent for any length of time, either the client would wake themselves out of that state, or they would just fall into a deep sleep.
Okay.
So there's a lot of myths and I guess out there about hypnosis, and the next thing I wanted to ask you was, can you erase a person's memory?
Not unless they want that memory to be erased. You can change the way a person perceives the memory, but to actually erase it entirely, there may be cases of it. There's state cult states that that they change is mass hypnosis in a state in a sense, but to erase something entirely, that they not that I'm aware of, but to change one's perception of a memory into a more positive outlook, or to just not be affected by the memory, then we can do that. But erase it entirely, no. Our memories are who we are and what make us what we are today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and can anyone be hypnotized? Because I've heard, too, that some people are not easily hypnotized as others, and can anyone be hypnotized?
Well, I'd like to say 90% of the population can be hypnotized. If they want to be hypnotized, then they can't be hypnotized. If someone if someone believes that they cannot be hypnotized and wants to prove to myself or any other hypnotist out there that they cannot be hypnotized, then more than likely they won't be hypnotized. But 90% of the population is easily accessible to hypnosis and can benefit from the suggestions.
So basically, it's if you're open to it, then it will happen, and if you're not open to it, it won't happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
And when someone's hypnotized, do they actually go to sleep or become unconscious in any way?
No, I wouldn't allow that. That would be a very expensive nap for my clients, and so no, that wouldn't be beneficial to them if they believed or they felt like they fell asleep. I do, like I said, hypnosis does skate that fine line between awake and asleep, so it is a seesaw effect of between that state to keep that individual in a relaxed state, just between awake and asleep, where they may be beginning to nod off, but then I'll give a suggestion, or I'll have them interact with me in one way or another. They'll follow my suggestion, either that they'll take a deep breath, or they'll nod their head, or if they understand. So I don't want them to fall asleep. I want them to be relaxed, but not asleep. No.
Okay. And you just talked about it would be an expensive sleep, and I know we have listeners all over the world, in Canada and the United States. So I don't know how well you can speak to this question, but if somebody wanted to have hypnosis to help for a medical reason or an emotional reason, is it covered by any insurance plans that you know of in Canada or the States?
Well, in Canada, and I'm sure through North America, through the United States and Canada, some extended health plans may cover the cost of the sessions, either a portion of or maybe the entire cost. Each state is different, or provinces in Canada has a different law behind it. In the state of the province of Ontario, be regulated under natural path or natural therapy. what I deal with is with stress and making healthy, positive choices for my clients so that they can make, you know, the changes, the healthy, positive changes in their lives so they can succeed. So we talk about stress mostly so that they can focus on what their goal is. If it's an emotional change or just quit smoking or to eliminate excess weight or whatever it may be, a fear or a phobia or apprehension. So there are so many applications, but the root of most of it is stress related.
Mm-hmm. So okay, and in talking about stress and other things, is it medically approved? So, you know, when somebody comes to you with an issue like stress or to stop smoking, have they come there on their own or have they been referred by a doctor? And does the doctor believe in this as a therapy? I know you can't speak for every doctor, but in general.
We work somewhat closely with the medical field. It has been approved by the Medical and Dental Association back in the late 50s and early 60s. There was write-ups in the newspapers and medical books to that extent that it was accepted. It was a very good form of relief or therapy. Now we've worked with different hospitals in different capacities, as well as dentist offices, and dealing with clients even on the dental side of it, and you know, with pain management. We've had people that have gone or in the cancer ward or that have gone through strokes and had great success with pain management or mobility issues from a stroke. But so it is accepted. Not necessarily do we always need a referral, depending on what the issue may be. We don't want to cover up an underlying issue. The one that I can think of off the top of my head would be someone who was complaining of migraines. Would want them to make sure that they'd seen a medical professional and that it wasn't some underlying issue besides a migraine, that it wasn't something medically, a tumor or something like that. So I would ask for a referral in that case, just to make sure that, you know, things are okay and that now we can treat or deal with, not treat, but deal with making positive changes.
Okay. So over in general then, it's pretty widely accepted by the medical profession.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
There's still a lot of closed doors, but, you know, we're opening a lot of doors in that capacity. So there's still, people out there that are a little closed-minded to what we do and that we may be taking, clients from their business, and we're helping their clients in a shorter amount of time. So some are not so open to it, and others are open. Greet us with open arms and bring us in and consult with us on a semi-regular basis. So,
Well, that's great, because it seems like, you know, not everybody fits the mainstream. So, you know, something like this kind of a treatment could help a lot of people. And what is self-hypnosis, and how does that come into the picture?
Well, all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. The clients that come to see me for whatever issue, if it's, like I said, well, I always like to use smoking as a good example. It's just one of the easiest ones to use as an example. If someone is coming to see me that wants to quit smoking, I simply give them some suggestions to allow themselves to relax to a deeper state than they've ever experienced before, so that their mind is more open and able to receive and retain the positive suggestions. I give them those suggestions. Now, the individual or the client has the option of accepting it or rejecting it. Each person has that power to reject any suggestion or idea that I give them. So if they allow it to happen, then it will happen.
Okay. Interesting. Hmm. And in what other areas is hypnotherapy helpful? Like you mentioned, you know, pain management and things like that. But is there other ones that aren't so common as well?
Well, we have allergies for children, bedwetting, there's sports enhancement, you know, dental procedures, like I had mentioned, fears or phobias, fertility and birthing, you know, overall health improvement, insomnia. Mm-hmm. The list goes on. I always like to say that any application that you can think of, any dysfunction or something that is holding an individual back, hypnosis has an application for it. Again, stress may be the root cause of what's stopping us from being successful, because we think it's hard or it's difficult or we couldn't possibly be better at something than we already are. If you can think it to be true, see it to be true, and then just know it to be true, then you can accomplish anything you put your mind to. And what we do in hypnosis is open that part of the mind and boost that confidence, reduce the stress, and boost the confidence and self-esteem so that an individual can reach whatever goal that they set for themselves. Sometimes they just an individual's mind just needs a swift kick in its backside to get on track and do what it needs to do. Sometimes it's just as easy as that. There are difficult clients that, you know, they're very strong-minded or analytically inclined. This relaxation, or in today's society, it's so quick and fast that and on the go, that people are not accustomed to letting themselves relax to a point where they're mm-hmm. always thinking about something. So that's what we want to do. We want to have a person make the time to let themselves go and open up to the wonderful experience of relaxation so that they can experience that. And the list of things goes on and on and on. I mean, I'll go back to that. Pain management, public speaking, confidence, smoking, sports, stuttering. I've consulted with some of the local high schools here in my hometown with the students there about test taking and study habits, as well as
okay.
there's some young women focus groups in some of these schools about self-esteem and confidence as well there as well, and weight management.
Mm-hmm.
So, and again, the list I could go on all night just naming off all sorts of different.
So how would it work? So say, you know, on your bio here talked about you losing weight and stuff like that. So say if somebody came to you, like say if I came to you and I was struggling with weight issues and you know, I made an appointment to see you, what would the process be? Like, how could you walk us through that?
Well, the process, the individual would come in. I mean, there's a little bit of intake paperwork, just, you know, make sure that you are there for that reason and that you are accepting that this is what's going to be done, that you're going to be hypnotized for the purposes of reaching their goal. Individual come into the office and we'll talk about what hypnosis is, just like we are doing now, and talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then make sure that the individual feels good about that. And if there's any questions about what's going to happen or the process, we'll go through that, come up with some healthy, positive suggestions so that they can reach their goal, because mm-hmm. the individual is going to do what they want to do, not because I say so or any hypnotist says yeah. so. Otherwise, they would have probably succeeded at reaching their goal by their friends or their family or their coworkers. With their permission to hypnotize them, and I take them down into a state of through progressive relaxation or guided imagery into a very peaceful state of relaxation, and then give them the reducing stress, reduce the stress and build confidence suggestions, and then talk about why they're there, if it's to eliminate weight or to quit smoking, and talk about those reasons and give them the reasons why they want to do it. If it's their health and well-being or to save some money or to be good role models or whatever reason it was, and then bring them back out of hypnosis by giving them the healthy positive mm-hmm. suggestions and bringing that energy back into their body, because a lot of people experience a heaviness or a lightness in their bodies, or pins and needle feelings, or kind of like an electricity flowing through them in this state. So we want to bring that energy in nice and slow for them, so that they can reemerge out of hypnosis feeling good and wonderful and optimistic and enthusiastic about the changes that are taking place. And then we have a little follow-up questionnaire, questions and answers. I want to make sure that I understand what they were feeling. They may have questions about what they were feeling, and I'll explain that to them, and then send them on their way.
Okay, and how many sessions would it normally take for somebody to deal with an issue like that?
Well, I always say 2 to 4 sessions for each individual. I do have a smoking program. It is 3 sessions, but for the change in unwanted negative behavior, I do say 2 to 4 sessions. Now, it could be more. It depends entirely on the individual and how motivated or how determined they are to reach that goal that they've set for themselves. I don't, it is not my intention to draw it out or lengthen the amount of sessions and say that it's going to take 8 sessions, roughly 45 minute to an hour long sessions. I start out with 2 to 4. The very first one, giving them the suggestions. The second one is to follow up with what we did on the first session and then reinforce that one. And if the individual is already experiencing the changes and the results that they desire, then it is up to them if they want to reinforce that that again. And I leave that entirely up to my client. I don't tell them that they need to see me continuously for the next 2 or 3 months. It is my intention to deal with the issue and help them help themselves and become better people. Because they want to.
And something like insomnia, like that seems to be something that, like you're unable to sleep. And, that seems like a little bit more challenging. How would you deal with that?
Again, insomnia is, what is the root cause of insomnia? Why do people have issues sleeping? Is it their work environment? Is it their home environment? And if it is one of those two, then what is causing that issue or that problem? Is it stress? Most people have told me that they're very stressful at their job, and they're overworked, underpaid, or they're not making enough money, that their uh-huh. employer, they just had a new boss come in or a new supervisor, and that they're, so it is usually 9 times out of 10 revolves around stress. I do a lot of stress reduction, talking about stress, and again, building confidence and self-esteem, and giving the healthy, positive suggestions that when they do lay their heads down on the pillow, that they'll be calm and relaxed, and they'll feel like they did when they were sitting in my chair, and that they can enter a state of sleep, a natural state of sleep, easily and effortlessly.
Uh-huh.
Now, insomnia, okay, sometimes that can be a little bit more difficult. It can be a little bit more, a few more sessions. But again, it is determined on the individual. Something like insomnia can be 4 sessions. Different issues do require more or less sessions. Weight management can be anywhere from 6 well, my website says 6 to 8 sessions. It could be more,
okay,
depending on how fast the goal is. But or for to change, build confidence, or to for public speaking, that can be as little as 2 mm-hmm. sessions. Fear of flying or certain fears or phobias can be dealt with in 2 sessions.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Anthony, we're going to take a short 1-minute break, if that's okay with you. So, and we're going to be right back after a word from our sponsor, PsychicAccess.com.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at PsychicAccess.com.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking with Anthony Hallis, and right now I'd just like to take a moment to make a few short announcements before we continue, and be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. And if you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com. Each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more. And many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards of the psychics. So right now we're going to continue on with our interview with Anthony. And Anthony, I do a lot of meditation and I teach meditation. And I know that it sounds very similar to meditation. I just wondered what the difference was between meditation and hypnosis.
Okay, well, thank you for having me back after that short break. But meditation and hypnosis, very similar. Meditation is a conscious effort, though. By our thinking, you consciously have to allow yourself to relax. You think about consciously okay. what it is that you have to do, and then you do it. Whereas in hypnosis, my client has absolutely nothing to do, more of nothing than that they've ever done before. And I do all the work. I give them the suggestions, uh-huh. and their subconscious or their unconscious part of their mind allows them to follow the suggestions.
Okay.
So that they don't even have to listen to me. That's how easy I make a session for my client. If their mind begins to wander or go off onto some other thought process, or thinking about what they're going to do later, or what they were going to do this weekend, or whatever it may be, or if they're just on a journey in their own mind, we're bypassing the critical factors of the conscious part of their mind, and then we're accessing and inputting the suggestions for their own good, because that's what they desire, right into the subconscious uh-huh. or the unconscious part of their mind. So they have absolutely nothing to do, but either they sit there in a nice comfortable chair, or we've had a couch in our previous office. We had a reclining couch, so we could see more than one person at a time if needed. But it's very very relaxing, very peaceful, and very easy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I think it would be more like sometimes with meditation, people find it very difficult, And so it sounds like hypnosis would be, for the people that are challenged by meditation, that hypnosis might be a better avenue for them to deal with stress.
Yes, it could be, yes. I've actually seen a few clients that were attempting meditation and having a difficult time at it because their minds were wandering or it just couldn't figure out exactly what they were supposed to do during meditation, and just giving them the suggestions that it was okay to allow their minds to wander, thinking about what they needed to do to relax, focusing their concentration mm-hmm. on different parts of their body as you do in meditation, and allowing that a wave of relaxation, well, like the ripples in a pond when you throw a pebble into it, just to kind of drift out to the different parts of their body and relax it as it goes. I've helped individuals mm-hmm. even with that, as simple as that.
Okay, and we talked a little bit earlier too. I think you mentioned, when I was asking various questions about the hypnosis and, if people can be hypnotized and their mind erased and stuff like that. And you just mentioned the things that happen in cults, and it just made me think about group hypnosis. And is that any different than individual hypnosis?
Well, it is a little different. It's more generic. Each individual has their own reason for reaching a goal. A lot of the group hypnosis things, and there's people that come through town every so often and do a big mass stop smoking program in one session, and then, so they may see 20, 30, maybe 50 people all in one big room. But each individual has their own reasons for quitting smoking. Not every smoker has the same reason why they want to quit.
Right.
So the hypnotist, mm-hmm. the hypnotist can't pick up on everybody's. So it's more generic, so it's not always as effective as individual sessions. In an individual session,
right.
we talk about what the issues are, why they're holding them back, what they can do as an individual to move past this hurdle or this blockage in their life, and how they can successfully do it. Now, I take these notes and then I use those suggestions back in my patter during their relaxation and with positive and enthusiastic tones so that they feel good about why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm. And with something that comes to mind with me, and it's kind of personal because there are so many children that have been diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. My nephew is one of them. And I know that hypnosis can help with even that disorder. And how would you work with a child, and how could it help a child with this kind of issue? Because there's so many children that are being medicated today with attention deficit disorder and similar disorders. And how could hypnosis help them?
Well, if we can capture their attention for just a brief few moments so that we can enter into that state and bypassing those thoughts or wherever that little voice in all of our heads, bypass that so that we can input suggestions for them to relax, to focus, again, focusing their concentration on the task at hand and not allow themselves to wander and drift. We want to do the opposite of relaxation. We want them to actually concentrate and focus their attention and their concentration on the task at hand, and all other background noise or anything else from around them it just fades away, so that they can focus on the task. If it's schoolwork or if it's sports or whatever the reason why they're doing this, or why their parents are mm-hmm. wanting them to do this. And it can reduce the medication. That's hypnosis is good for for that, for children on that are ADD or ADHD, reducing that medication, as well, even for other issues that are for adults that are taking medication as well. I mean, you can reduce blood pressure medication through hypnosis by becoming your more relaxed individual. And that's what
that's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And do you have any statistics on that that you know of? Like, is there any studies that have been done that show, you know, how much of a positive effect it has on people that have these issues?
I don't have any stats off the top of my head, but I know that there have been a lot of studies. Furthering my education in hypnosis in this actual area relatively soon. There's a gentleman, one of the top hypnotists through the NGH, or the National Guild of Hypnotists, has done many workshops for hypnotists to deal or effectively with children with ADD and ADHD, as well as adults, not just children, but even young adults and older adults as well, that have just recently found out that they're diagnosed with this. That is an area that I'm, again, furthering my education in, because it is it's very beneficial to these people. But statistics, I don't have, but again, on the web, typing in ADHD or the symptom and hypnosis will bring up a multitude of information or studies or papers written on the topic.
Interesting. And I know that you're doing some interesting work with hypnosis and childbirth. Do you want to tell us a bit about that? Because that's fascinating as well.
Well, it's called hypnobirthing. It's an area that I'm, again, continuing my education in. I've done some workshops with some hypnotists and trainers in painless childbirth. But there is a specific program out there, and it is called hypnobirthing, and it has been around for many, many years. A woman named Marie Monin has coined that term, hypnobirthing. Now, it is something that has been around a long, long time. Doulas, midwives have been doing this for centuries, in guiding the woman through childbirth to focus their attention. Again, it's all about focusing the attention and remaining deeply relaxed. Now, hypnobirthing and this program is about reducing stress and pain levels, so that you feel pressure but no pain, remaining in a deeply relaxed state that creates a more positive birthing experience, less healing time, less hospital time for the mother and child, and reducing stress on both the mother and the child. I couldn't say for sure the extent of the pain or the comfort level of natural childbirth, or even with the epidural through the drugs that are administered for some women. But this gives an alternate choice for women. Do it naturally, but painless, which I believe is a wonderful opportunity if we can educate and let the people out there, couples to be, mothers to be, that this is something that should be looked into and considered for the benefit of themselves and their child.
Yeah, so how would that work? Would they learn the self-hypnosis techniques, or would somebody like yourself be there as a coach, or would their partner be coaching them with these techniques, or how would it work exactly?
Well, it can go both ways. It starts out as a workshop on multiple sessions with both the if it's an individual, or if there's a companion, or the partner there can be involved. Now it's up to the individuals whether or not the hypnotist goes with them to the hospital. It's not necessary. As long as they follow the program, they can continue through self-hypnosis, and they've already been programmed to access the feelings or the memories or the images that have been suggested through previous sessions, so that they can continue on themselves, and can the partner can transfer that those suggestions as well, so that through the birthing period they remain deeply relaxed, focused, and having a good time. They can continue to have conversations and feel pressure but no pain, or reduced pain. It's a combination. It could go either way. I mean, it's the couple and the hypnotist working through a program, months in advance, maybe 4 months prior to the time of arrival, and then they continue on themselves through the actual delivery. There have been cases where the hypnotist has, it has to be approved by the hospital and the doctors. As long as they allow it, then it is possible to go in and coach through the birthing process, but it's not always necessary.
Okay, and would the baby come out hypnotized?
No, but they would be very relaxed, considerably relaxed, and more aware of their surroundings. Not so stressed out. Very stressful.
So it would be a better experience for mom and baby.
Yes, and being in that relaxed state creates, oxygen for both the mother and child. So because they are more relaxed, they're breathing more easily and slowly, so that they're getting enough oxygen, and it's just a more relaxing state.
Mm-hmm. And some challenging diseases, like some of the psychiatric diseases, and like the one, you talked about high blood pressure. That just fascinates me, that you could, suggest to someone and help them change something within their body like that. But how about something like, bipolar disorder, or people that are going through depression even? How could hypnosis, has there been work done with people that are suffering from or affected by these disorders as well?
Well, yes. Again, with a referral, or that they've acknowledged that they have seen, their family practitioner or a licensed medical person. Now, bipolarism is not something that I've worked. I couldn't say in my years I've had a bipolar client. But people with depression, again, I have seen. We need to find the root cause of why there's depression. Why do they feel depressed?
Uh-huh.
What is the depression about? Why do they feel that way? What is depressing them? And get them out of that state of depression by explaining their depression, gets them out of their depression. And then we come up with new, healthy, positive suggestions that they can continue to be more optimistic, enthusiastic about, whatever changes that they desire. If they're going to, change their eating habits, or, their motivation in, moderate exercise, finding new outlets or creative outlets for depression or for stress, like hobbies or projects or, music or whatever it may be for that individual, to help them through. Again, focused concentration on something other than what it was they were focusing on before.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like a very healthy and positive way to promote healing for anything.
Yes. I cut out there for a second. I didn't hear the last part of that.
Did you hear what I said?
No, it started to cut out.
Oh, okay. No, I just said hypnosis sounds like a wonderful and healthy way to help heal almost anything.
Yes, it is, very much so.
Now, I know there's another side to hypnosis, and there's been a lot of myths and misunderstandings because a lot of us have seen the show business side of it, and I think there's a place for that as well because a lot of the shows are very funny, and laughter is the best medicine, and comedy can be very healing. So, again, I think that's using the mass hypnosis power suggestion and how far to do, we see people doing a lot of crazy things up on stage as well.
Well, stage hypnosis is fun. We here at the Canadian Hypnosis Center have very wholesome, fun, family-oriented shows. There are many other hypnotists that are out there that, are on different, the college circuits or, they're more adult-oriented, but we keep our shows very family, PG in a sense, rated. So we're not embarrassing anybody. It's all about, some simple suggestions or scenarios where we've created, flying an airplane or riding a bus, playing musical instruments or speaking different languages with interpreters. There's a multitude of things that you can do with people up on stage. But the individuals up on stage want to do those things. I do see a lot of people that they joke about when they come in to see me on an individual basis in my office that I'm not going to get them to do any crazy things like they've seen on TV or on stage. And it's, well, not unless you want to do those things. Oh, no. Okay, well, then you won't do those things, even if I was to suggest them, because you've already told me you don't want to. Again, the individual has the power to refuse any suggestion. So the people up on stage want to do those things. Some people are more suggestible because of the environment. It may not be right for everybody. That's why a lot of stage shows you may see, there's people that are sent back to the audience or to their seat, and only the remaining people are the best subjects on stage under hypnosis. Under suggestion, so that they can continue to give a wonderful show for the rest of the people. So, if you want to do those things, then you will act upon those suggestions by the hypnotist.
Mm-hmm. So no one can really control your mind. So when, and I think that's, the myth that we all have is that there's mind control and you're going to get up there on the stage and act like a fool and you're not going to remember anything. And do people actually remember what happens after? Do they have any recollection?
Yes, for the most part. Again, it's all on the hypnotist himself and how he portrays himself or the suggestion. Sometimes we have fun with one person, not the entire, that they'll go back to the audience and they won't remember that we've already done the show and that they were a great participant. And maybe 5 minutes later, it'll all come back to them and they'll have a great laugh and their friends will be... nothing that's long-lasting, that they would never remember again, not in that state. Again, that is how we are with our show. Now, I couldn't say that for some of the other people out there on the circuit that are entertaining and professionally stage hypnotists. Some of us are, certified with the NGH, and some of us, there are a few out there that are uncertified and have an unethical guidelines that they do not follow. But here, and for most of the people that I know through the National Guild, they're all very ethical, and family-oriented people, and want to keep things safe and clean and fun and for the enjoyment of everybody. That's what it's all about. It's supposed to be fun.
And I did look at some videos that were on the on YouTube, and it was quite funny. And like you said, it was really family-oriented, where anybody could watch it, and it was quite fascinating, actually. And as I said in the beginning, I'm quite fascinated by hypnosis, and I find very interesting, as I'm sure everybody else listening tonight learned a lot. And Anthony, this is we're coming to the end of our interview with you, I'm very sad to say. And on behalf of everybody here, I'd like to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us this evening about hypnosis. And again, Anthony is the director of the Canadian Hypnosis Center. And for more information on Anthony, you can visit his website at www.canadianhypnosiscenter.com. So, Anthony, thank you so much again, and all the best to you and the
center.
Thank
you very much for having me, and I hope I entertained all the people out there through this this Radio Access show. And I appreciate the time and the consideration from you and everybody at your station, and all the people that are out there. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
All right. Good night.
Take care. Good night.
Bye bye.
Good night. Thanks. What an interesting show, and like I said, I'm personally just fascinated by hypnosis and something that I would like to learn myself. And for more information, like I said, on Anthony, visit his website at www.canadianhypnosiscenter.com. And be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show.
Welcome to
Talk Show. Please enter the call ID followed by the pound key. Sorry, be sure to stay tuned for your second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. If you're unable to catch a show last week, you'll find a recorded archive link, as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccess.com radio. Sorry, talkradio.com under the archives tab. And please feel free to circulate the archive links and future show details to your friends and family. Our mission is to reach out to as many people as possible. And please be sure to visit our psychicblogs.com site to learn about everything from reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development. And if you're interested in a reading from the best psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile for you to find out more about them, and to choose from the list of some of the most gifted psychics around. Many gifted psychics who have worked for other sites have come to me and told me that they found Psychic Access to be the best psychic website because of the high standards required of our psychics. I, for one, enjoy working with Doug and Psychic Access because of those standards, and I know that with Psychic Access, I'm associated with a credible and reputable psychic site that has high standards of integrity, so my reputation is safe. And you'll find all the co-hosts here on the Psychic Viewpoint on Psychic Access, and if you'd like your personal reading from any one of us, please be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We'd love to hear from you. By the way, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. And for more details for webmasters, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. And if you like our show, please invite your friends to join us in our chat room and listen to the Psychic Viewpoint. It's always a lot of fun, and there's something for everybody, so please spread the word. We very much appreciate it. And the call-in number tonight for readings at the end of the show is 724-444-4851. So now we're going to take a few minutes and talk to my fabulous co-hosts. And Sharon, I heard that you had a great experience with hypnosis. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, I first of all, great show. It was really great. I really liked it. I'd love to find out insights like that. Yeah, you had a great voice too, so it was good. That I was thinking that'd be a nice voice to be hypnotized to. But anyways, I went to a couple of hypnosis people, and one of them helped me lose weight. I mean, I'm still not at the weight I'd like to be, but it just redirected my, you know, first of all, like I was like craving, like instead of craving sugar and chocolate, it was like all of a sudden I started craving lemon water, you know. I found it kind of wore off after a while. Now maybe it was just my own mind that kind of overrode it, but I guess you just have to go back sometimes.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, but it is amazing
because I think we do lose focus after a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they
need that reinforcement.
Yeah, it's good. Now, Nancy, do you do hypnosis? Like, do you teach it or whatever? No,
no, but I want to learn.
Okay, because I just felt you'd be good. Yeah. Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Okay. I'm really interested in it.
Good stuff. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
And Phil, I know that you use guided self-hypnosis CDs and that you use them every day. And are they similar to guided meditation tapes? And what do you use them for? Please tell us.
Please tell us. How are you? That was a good show. Okay. They're very similar to guided meditation tapes in the fact that a voice is guiding you or telling you what to do. But instead of walking you through the forest or up to the lighthouse to receive a token from your spirit guides, you're being hypnotized. That's the big difference.
Ah.
And you're also being taught a method of how to hypnotize yourself at the same time. So the ones I listen to are very positive, with a reinforcement that we're all connected to all things in the universe, all things have energy, we can communicate with anything in the universe, and I use the tapes for different purposes, like somewhere to plan your day for a happy day, or to remote view or self-healing, and different things to that nature. So I find them kind of cool.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, you can use it for different aspects.
Uh-huh. Oh. Well, thank you for sharing.
Okay.
And Maureen?
Yeah, I'm here.
Maureen, can you tell us about your findings on the history of hypnosis from ancient times to modern hypnosis?
Well, sure. I'm not on mute. I know that, right? Okay. It's very interesting what I found out. And I did this because I just wanted to research. I'm not saying, you know, I think a lot of people would be interested in it because I had no idea about this. But the history of hypnosis is from ancient times to modern hypnosis, but it starts from the early ages of civilization. So in ancient times, people used to use it for healing purposes, of course, especially in religious ceremonies. But, for example, shamans entered in a process of strong visualization and suggested during which he or she would will to heal the sick person. And that's pretty much what we know about that now. But this is very interesting. I don't think anybody knows this, but the first type of hypnosis started with animal hypnosis. Did you know that? Not for maybe. So in the 1600s, farmers claimed that claimed chickens. They hypnotized chickens using different methods. So in the 1800s, people hypnotized birds, rabbits, frogs, and others. And so there was a gentleman called Daniel, who experimented with animal hypnosis and studied its psychological workings in animals. So after that, in the middle 1700s into the 1815, another gentleman, Australian doctor named Franz Anton Mesmer, who is acknowledged as the father of hypnosis, started a theory of animal magnetism. He believed that there was a quasi-magnetic in every air we breathe, and a cosmic fluid could be stored in inanimate objects such as magnets, and transferred to patients for curing their illness. Now that again is where we get the magnets that people use for, you know, those bracelets and stuff they put on them.
You know, I'm you have sitting here with magnets around my neck right now.
Oh, you are? Well, don't psychic that out. So he cured it at that time. Now, this is the 1700s to 1800s. He cured a 29-year-old woman who suffered from convulsive mad lady. They call them mad lady. Of course, everybody's mad in that time, right, women? During one of the woman's attacks, Messer applied three magnets to the patient's stomach and legs while she was concentrated on the positive effects of the cosmic fluid. So her symptoms subside, and he believed that the cosmic fluid was directly through the patient's body and energy, and so on. So he had great success treating thousands of people with animal magnetism, and the process referred to mesmerism, like mesmerized. I'm almost done here. It is. I just want to get to that a little bit more because it is fascinating. I mean, I had no clue about using poor the animals. Well, the poor animals, they were doing good for animals. But anyway, so this is where the animal thing. But then into the late 18th century, okay, and then another guy, an English physician, John Ellistone's son, in 1791 to 1868, reported that 1.834 surgical operations, well, 1,000, I guess, 834 surgical operations performed painlessly. Now, a lot of us do know that that's where a lot of it came from, because they started using hypnosis because they didn't have the anesthesia, the stuff I love, to treat things. But they also used, then they started using it, they started doing more experiments on for sleep. And did you know that nervous sleep and coined, okay, mesmerized, that word, okay, coined the word hypnosis, derived from the Greek word hypnos, which means sleep, actually. So, yeah, and not only that, is it was regarded as a normal phenomenon to use, but Freud is the one who really got it to me. Yeah, he was interested, but he had his own views. You know, Freud, I'm all with Carl Jung, as we all know it. But so anyway, it just goes on to the 1930s. But you know what? I didn't realize how much this... I didn't realize anything about the animals. It started with the animals. But then in World War I, World War II, and the Korean War, hypnosis techniques were merged with psychiatric and were especially useful in the treatment of post-traumatic stress. That's when that began. And that was World War I. That was a long time ago. So it's, you know, and I know we know about for me because of Vietnam. So anyway, so two years after, they finally endorsed it, and then we get into the future of it. Now we all know about that. So there you have it. I thought it was fascinating.
So interesting. You know, when you talked about animal hypnosis, I started thinking about the Pied Piper.
You know what? You're exactly right about that.
It was exactly.
Nancy, that is so good. And you know, those Hans Christian Andersen, and also the Grimms, the real Grimms fairy tales are pretty tormenting. But that's very true. Absolutely. Good job. Yeah. That's archetyping.
Oh, wonderful. It's fascinating. Fascinating.
Thank you, Nancy. That was good.
Read more about that. Yeah, well, thank you.
No, you're welcome.
So moving right along. Sharon, I have a question for you. Okay. Hi.
Do you think psychic people are easier or harder to hypnotize?
You know, when I thought about this before, I thought it would be harder to hypnotize a psychic person, but apparently it's easier. And I think it's because our energy is like more relaxed, kind of, and we're already in the other side anyway, so we're probably going to that energy all the time. So what do you think?
I think it would be easier too because it's all about being open to it. So I think if somebody's psychic, their mind is more accepting anyway, maybe.
Yeah, I don't know, because I remember when I went for hypnosis, I thought, there's no way they could do it, blah, blah, and then it was so easy for me. Now, Maureen, are you on the line? Because I know you say here you disagree, so jump on the line here if you can.
Do you disagree? I disagree. I'm sorry to say this.
You're talking to the Pied Piper right now.
No, you know why? I'm not. It's not a cat fight. It's good that we disagree, you guys. The reason why I do, Sharon, and this is just for me, I have a very time. I don't mean to be, but it's my control issue, and I know that I'm one of those people he talks about. They pick certain people in the audience. I've always wanted to be one of those. They always say, no, sit down. I've always been open to it, but I cannot do forced meditation very well either. In fact, not. So I find that this is my hang-up, you know. This is the thing. I've been going to counseling for 40 years. Control. And it's like I desire it. Well, you know, I'm being honest. I desire it, but I have a hard time. You know, someone said to me, do you know how to relax? And I thought about it, and, you know, I don't. I have so with me now, does that mean I'm not psychic? Well, I'm a good psychic? No. But it does mean that I think I run on another vibration that's a little bit out.
I just, you know what,
I shouldn't say I disagree totally. It's just with me and because of the work I do, I get very, very discouraged when this happened because, like I said, I desire so much to be able to, but it just has never worked out for me. And I've tried.
Yeah. So, no, I wasn't generalizing all psychics. I wondered when I went if I would be able to because being psychic, but I was fine with it, so.
I think everybody else is because they're able to not have such a control issue with it.
Yeah.
I think it's
an individual thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I guess, you know, I should go to the nearest mental hospital and try to get some help. You know, I'm just saying, I get real angry because I think I'm supposed to get this because I do the work I do, so why wouldn't I be able to be okay? But that's, I'm just saying, it's a little frustrating, but that's why I disagree, that's all. The end.
Okay, the end. Thanks, Nancy.
Very, very interesting discussion, ladies.
For sure. Okay,
and Phil, back to you. Have you had any experience or do you have any experience with self-trance or hypnosis for medical use?
Yeah, hey, I actually do. I have a reoccurring... I can share. Would you like me to share?
Please share.
I have a reoccurring dislocated shoulder that happened at Christmas time. So it actually came out twice during the show. So what that is, if you don't know, is your shoulder comes out of the socket about 80% of the way, and then it pops back in. Yeah, it's lovely. So, pain level's pretty high. It goes up to 10. It's usually at like a 6 or a 7. And then it jumps up to suicidal. And the meds they put me on just really weren't doing anything. So I started playing around with self-trance for pain reduction. And I got to the point, and, you know, I used the tapes for a while, and then I started doing it on my own and getting through it that way. And I could bring the pain level from a 10 down to a 3 or a 4, at least for a while. And then I started messing. Yeah, so that was pretty cool. But then I started messing with self-trance to kind of get that out-of-body experience.
Okay.
And if you remember, Anthony said earlier, when you're under hypnosis, your body's going to start feeling lighter, things to that nature. And self-trance, so self-trance does the same thing. And if you kind of picture yourself floating above yourself, which removes your body from your body, so to speak, so I was like removing my body from the pain mechanism. And that worked.
Interesting.
Yeah, a little bizarre. But that worked pretty good. It just didn't last long enough. So I'm still kind of messing with different combos of stuff. And we don't need to go into what I'm messing with to try to get it there, but so yeah, I have used it. It does work for if you want it to or you believe it can, I guess, Maureen, and it works for me.
So
things is not everything works for everybody.
Okay, I got it.
Not everything works for everybody, yeah. But it works for me, so it's pretty cool.
That sounds cool. And Maureen, we're back to you, and I think we've already talked about this, but we'll talk a bit more. Do you think hypnosis provides successful results for everyone?
I don't think that, not for everyone, as I just mentioned. But I know my sister, the smoking, I was very impressed with the fact that she was a heavy smoker, and it worked for her. And she had tried everything, and it was a particular one person that did this. She tried a few different hypnosis, and one particular person, and it had a little different way of doing things. But I do feel, I want to make one point here real quickly, though. I do feel channeling, or like, you asked about meditation similar to this. Channeling is something that will come about to me unexpectedly when I'm doing readings. And so, or I'm driving, you know, when you're driving and all of a sudden you pass, you're in a hypnotic state there too. You pass off from. So, you know, I've had success because I should have passed by it. Or maybe when I'm doing some particular readings, I do go into like a channeling, which is sort of like I'm in a hypnotic state. But it's not something that I, it just has to happen in that way, not, so yes.
Your journey to it is different. You have a different way of doing it.
Well, it's not that I even want it that way. It just seems to just be the way it is what it is.
It just happens.
Yeah. Beware.
Interesting.
Thank you. That was nice. Now it's show tune time.
Do that again.
Sound effects. Freudian slip there. Okay, so Sharon, I have a question for you.
Okay.
And do you think you have the want to change? We're talking a lot about change tonight.
Yeah. Well, actually, he talked a bit about that, too. He talked a bit about that, too, yeah. And it's funny because I phoned someone about a session, actually, last week, a new person. And she said, you know, you have to want to change or you're wasting your money. And I thought, well, if I wanted to change, wouldn't I be changed already? Like, so I thought it was a peculiar thing to say. But what he said is, no, he can do it whether you're listening or not, and it still works, right? So I'm glad he said that. So it was more of a discussion. So I just wondered. So I guess on some level you have to want to change, or it has to be in line with who you are, I guess, right? Like for your higher benefit. So that's all. Just talking out loud, I guess. Do you think so too?
Yeah, I think you have to want to, and I think that we have trouble accomplishing it sometimes, but I think you have to want to.
Yeah, cool. All right.
Okay, thanks. So we're going to go to our readings, and we're taking your calls. So we're coming to the part of the show where we'll be taking your calls and questions, and you can either call in or ask your question in the chat room. However, we do not have to take the call-in. We do have to take the call-ins first due to the wait time. And the call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. And again, the number is 724-444-4851. And please note that when you call, nobody will answer your call. So when your call comes in, you'll be placed on hold right away. So just relax and listen to the show while you're waiting, and you'll be able to speak to us when you're placed on the air. And when you get through, please try to be very specific with your questions, as this will enable us to focus and hone in more directly on your area of interest and your question. So our first caller is for Phil, and I believe it's DIY Guy. Are you there?
Die Guy, are you there?
Die Guy.
Die Guy. Hello, hello.
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 Hello, Die Guy.
No, I'm Saku.
You're Saku. Okay.
Yeah.
Hi, Saku. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's your question, Saku?
I have a boyfriend, and my parents and his parents, I think they kind of don't like us being together. And since my parents got involved in it, they really don't like him. And they think he's not a nice guy and that he lies and stuff. But I don't feel that way about him. So I just wanted to know if my relationship will last with him and if it's going somewhere and if he's really the guy for me.
What's his name, Saku?
Kusen.
His first name.
Kusen.
Kusen. Okay. Let me toss a couple cards. And okay. Your parents are kind of a pain in the butt about the whole thing, right?
Yeah, they think he's not the right person for me.
Yeah, but you two seem to get along well. You're connected at least. So
What
I'm getting is you just kind of he needs to kind of show your parents that he's worthy of you and that he's going to make you happy. And until they kind of see that, they're looking at the negative side of things.
Yeah.
And he just needs to turn that around. As far as you two going the distance, and let's say the distance is a year, we'll just use the pendulum. Yeah, you're going to make it for the next year. Yeah, but really, the message I'm getting is for him. And that's for him, so you can tell him to, you know, grow up and show your parents and do something nice for them and show him the good side, because they're looking at all the negatives. So he needs to get them to love him also.
Yeah, but I don't think they give him a chance. That's the problem. Like everything is just so mixed up. It's just confusing. It's just you don't know where to start from, and that worries me that they're really upset and they've told me to stay away from him, but I don't think he's that bad.
They've really got him under judgment. The justice card's up, and you know, they just don't think he's right for you. They're not seeing what you see in him. Did they catch him doing something with a group? Is he associated with a group of kids that they don't like or something to that nature?
No, my mom came to Toronto and she met him, and by looking at him she didn't like him, because maybe there's this one time he yelled at me and she was upset, and my mom thinks he's just not a nice guy for me and he's not going to keep me happy. That's what she thinks.
Okay. Yeah. He really, once again, he just needs to turn that situation around, because they've got him under scrutiny. They're really looking at him and watching out for you at the same time. And unless he can flip that, they're always going to look down on him.
Okay.
So you kind of need to open those communication lines between them in a good way. Okay?
Because
your mother's coming off as the worst. Your father is kind of just looking away from the mother, trying to stay out of it. And let me see if the situation is going to kind of turn around.
Okay.
Your father really just wants you to be happy.
And what about his parents?
What about his parents?
I think they don't like me anymore.
You want to know if his parents like you?
Yeah.
You're nervous about this whole thing, huh?
Yeah, okay. It's just stressing me out, because it's been going on for so long, and I'm just always worried, because if it's not going to go anywhere, then I don't think it's worth it giving it a try again, you know?
Yeah, well, worry's not good for you, but let's see what we got in the cards. All right, what we need you to do is just stay strong, stop thinking that everything's going to fail, that it's always coming down on you two, and just be happy and stay strong. Once everyone's seeing that you're happier, they're all going to come together. It's just going to take some time. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
But just,
Thank you.
Hang in there and stop worrying, okay, Saku?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, Phil, great reading, and thanks Suku for calling in. And next caller is from Georgia, and it's for Sharon.
Hi, Georgia, are you there?
Yes.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
What's your name, please?
Patrice? Yes.
Okay, did you have a question for me tonight?
Yes. I'm at a crossroads in my life where I am separated from my husband and I kind of need to make a decision about where to go. And there is someone else involved, but not really. He's kind of on the spiritual journey, kind of hard to explain. And so I'm trying to figure out with either path, like what would happen, or what path I should go down, or I'm just really confused.
What I'm feeling for you is I keep going to August, and I'm seeing that there will be something that lands in your path that makes it very, very obvious which way to go. I'm feeling you haven't quite. Like, I feel this man that you're talking about, this one that feels like he's getting you to where you need to go. Kind of like you met him on purpose, is sort of like to get you somewhere. That's how I'm feeling around the man you're talking about. And I keep feeling that someone's going to sort of swoosh into your life when it comes to relationships, and it's going to be so obvious that you're meant to be with that person. And I'm feeling, I keep going, I want to say at almost the end of July, that it's like the rose-colored glasses come off. You really go through kind of a, like, leaving the past behind and moving forward into the future, and it's good. It feels really good, and I'm feeling a trip that's going to really help you. Are you going away in July?
I was thinking about it at the beginning of July.
Okay, because the trip's really going to help you, and it's going to move you forward. And I just feel nice things around you. I feel that it's like you've done your duty. Now let's bring in the rewards. That's kind of what I'm feeling. Are you feeling like that too?
I do. I'm just very, like, I guess I'm very anxious about what could happen or if I'll make the wrong decision.
Well, you know what? I always say to people, you're exactly where you're meant to be. There's no, you know, there's no what ifs or what if I did this or maybe I'm doing that wrong. Just keep telling the universe to make it crystal clear and just keep moving forward. That's all you can do, just one step at a time. You're not going to make wrong decisions. You're pretty savvy, and you know, you've got a really strong gut. I can feel it. It's like, you know, when you make a decision, it's made from a place deep, deep inside of you. So just keep going the way you're going. You're doing really, really good. I see spirit all beside you and just edging you on. They're just like, rah, rah, you know? So just keep going.
And the guy, is he coming back? He said that he's just someone that just getting me somewhere where I need to be.
Yeah, I'm feeling the one that you're talking about, the one that you said that was sort of a spiritual thing, that he's kind of temporary, like, but in a good way. Like he's been a blessing. Like when he's there, he was a blessing to you, and he made you feel really beautiful. And I think that's what you're after. You know, you wanted to feel like you, and maybe he wasn't meant to be long term. Okay, but someone's coming in, and they're going to swoop you off your feet, and you're going to be forever grateful that you waited. Okay. Did
Thank
I upset you?
You?
Hello, Georgia?
Yes.
Oh, did I upset you by saying that? You were hoping the other one was flying back into your life?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm just really confused about everything that's gone on. I don't know if I could see him just being temporary. That just seems
He has his purpose.
He has just temporary.
Yeah, yeah, he had his purpose, and sometimes we need that, you know. So just keep going, keep doing exactly what you're doing. You're you know, I don't even see a crossroads there. I just see you marching forward. You're doing what you're meant to do. Okay? I see a little surprise too happening kind of in September. Some kind of money surprise. So just keep your antenna up and stay positive. All righty?
Okay. All right.
Thank you. You take care.
You too.
Okay, thank you for calling, and thanks, Sharon. That was a great reading. And again, our call-in number for your free reading tonight is 724-444-4851. And please note again that no one will answer your call. When you call in, you'll be put and placed on hold right away. So you just relax and listen to the show while you're waiting, and you'll be able to speak to us when you're placed on the air. And please try to be specific with your questions, because this will help us focus and be more direct with our answers. So if you're in the chat room this evening, if you have a question, you can just... I'm not in the chat room tonight because I'm working extra hard. So if there's a question tonight, you might be able to get a chance to have it answered, and we have to take our call-ins first, of course, because of the wait time, but we do take questions from the chat room as well. So I'll call out the number again, because if you're like me, I forget numbers, and I also write things backwards, so I always like it when I hear the number repeated several times so I can actually write it down correctly. So the call-in number for your free reading is 724-444-4851. And again, just remember that when you call, you won't get answered by a real person. Of course, just like anywhere else, we will put you on hold immediately, and you have to wait. So we do have a caller for, I believe, Maureen is doing the next reading. And Maureen, Judy has a question in the chat room.
Okay. Oh, I'm not and there. I'll look. I know you're not in there. I'll read this. Hi, okay. Judy. If that's okay, is there a job in my future worthy of me? I like how she asked that. Hi, Judy. Yeah, because you are worthy. We're all worthy. We all have a lot of worthiness, and we deserve a lot. Okay. Then, here it goes. Right now, I feel that... Sorry, I didn't mean to breathe so loud there. It looks like there's a self... You look like you're in a self-imprisonment type of feeling. It's like you can't move... You don't feel like you can set yourself free to go in a direction. Or really, you know, use that word worthy. You need to release yourself from what's like binding you. Because you are worthy. And I think this... If you only knew that you could just untie yourself and just go for it, it's not... I'm not saying it's easy or not easy, but I feel that you are able to do so. There's a relationship that you're involved in that's really not real healthy, and I think that may have something to do with it. You've kind of lost yourself for a bit. I see you detaching in a little bit of an isolation, but in a good way, in a spiritual type of like a beacon light. It's like going within, and it may be a little bit lonely, but at this point I think... From what I'm seeing, it's lonely anyway. If you are involved, I don't know, I just get this relationship that's really, you know, we're colored by our environment when we're around people that don't embrace us or our worthiness or our abilities or, you know, support us like that. It's really easy to feel that there's nowhere that's, you just get down on yourself. And it's sad, but, you know, if this was, you know, you tried something in the springtime and it didn't work out. You can type in and let me know if you're following me at all, if you want to. I just keep picking up on some relationship stuff that's really paining. It's in my heart. And I feel that it might be that might be, oh, I'm so sorry. Just last January, since you lost your husband. I'm sorry. Oh, that could. If you, no wonder. Yes. Your husband, you know what? So since then, this is January 2011. That's not too long ago. And I think it's time to... I think it's time, maybe he would want you to do this, to free yourself and do what you do. And he really would be happy. And also, stay away from any temptations that would take you into another direction that doesn't need to be. Any direction that it has to do with any relationship, because you know, people may think we need to couple up or be with somebody or meet people. Forget about that stuff. I see very, very positive things for you if you're not tempted by the likes of others. This is about you, and actually, spiritually speaking, this makes sense, because, and I'm sorry, the pain is really intense, and it's like there's a third situation involved. It just feels like it happens over and over again. It's like you need to start healing. So I suggest go on a spiritual quest. I think that it would be to your best interest, and I think that you know what that would mean. And things are feeling differently anyway, but I feel that a lot of people come to you they came for you for insight. You're like a beacon light, but it's been a while since you've been doing that. But if there is anybody that's trying to connect with you and try to get to know you, like, you know, in the woman-man kind of thing, is what I'm talking about. I'm not saying you're looking for that. This is what I'm saying, to stay away from that temptation. No good will come from it, especially because I see there's so much opportunity for you. But the pain is what it is. And I do feel, you know what, I get a feeling that a job that would be worthy for you. Oh, thank you, because I wasn't looking in there. Sharon, she said you wrote something. I feel like I need new friends. Yeah, you know, a good community of people is the key to a lot of things, because I know for a fact, because when you don't have, as a community, you don't need crazy making friends. You don't need people that won't embrace you or help you along, because it's not that they have to go. Everybody should do that for one another. And it's a community. It's like having a community wherever you are. And if you don't have that right now, I suggest trying to find a way to get that, whether it be maybe having to go to another area or no man. I'm glad, no man not interested. If there are, but if I do see any man, I know you're not interested, but that may not mean the same for them. And that would just be not real healthy. But I know that you know that. I'm not saying you're consciously thinking what you want to be, but you know how men are. No offense, guys. But I wanted to tell you, I get the feeling that if you got real back into your spiritual work, it will be, this is the thing with that. Someone told me this a long time ago for me. Learn how to be alone, but not be lonely. This is the journey that I see, the best journey for you to take. But you have to be okay about being alone and not be lonely. With your situation, your husband passing away, it's going to be very difficult. But I feel that you would do really well helping people, or maybe writing, helping your story, or the, you know, anything to do with the other people going through experiences. And I'm not sure how, or if it was unexpected with your husband, what happened. But, you know, it's just, Judy, how are you? Everybody's younger than me, but you were young. He was young. Was it something that was like in the heart that happened, his heart? I don't know. It breaks my heart that I just feel that you could help others with what you are going through, and at the same time the healing would go on with you, the healing process would begin, because it hasn't yet really begun. Absolutely learn how to not be lonely is what she's saying. And when I was told this many years ago, when I was a young girl, some old lady told me, I know what she meant because I know the work I was doing, but it has been interesting for me to be as such, and I have been isolated. Brain cancer. Did he go, was it something that was sudden? She said it was brain cancer. Oh, geez. Was it something that was such a quick thing that happened? It wasn't, it's just sad. But you know what? He wants you. You know, even when you were, before he left, he is ready to see you go for it. You're always a beacon light. You have a lot to do. You could write. I see you could be writing. You could be doing talks and are going and participating in things that would tell your story about anything in life that you've done. So I hope that helped, Judy. And I bless your heart, and I send you all good thoughts. Diagnosed, lived 20 months. That's not very long. Gosh. Judy says that. But Judy, you know your husband, what he would want. So maybe if you can think of it on that term, he wouldn't want anything less for you. Pictures. Interesting. Yeah. You know, think of it in that way, and you'll thrive. You're going to thrive. Pictures. Yeah. Oops, sorry. You know, Judy, you're going to be fine, but I'm not going to say it's painful. Very, very painful. But you're going to do great. And your husband knows this. He's going to kick you in the butt if you don't. So there you have it. Thank you, Judy, and I hope that helped and you followed me okay. Okay.
Thank you, Maureen. That was great. And it's always difficult when you're dealing with grief. It's not an easy process for anybody.
It's an individual thing, and it's really sad. Yeah. But Judy will be thrive.
Okay. We have a question in chat from Rish, and she says, I'm seeing someone right now. Is he the right person to be with because I'm starting to get into a relationship after a really bad previous relationship? Okay, Rish, I'm just going to do a very quick spread here and just see what comes up, what I'm getting. And I see the Lover's card come up, but it's not in the place that I want it to be. Story of my life. No, I'm just kidding. But I see that, is there somebody, I don't know if there's someone else involved, but I'm getting a woman that not to be trusted. I don't know if there's another woman involved, and it doesn't always necessarily mean like another female competing for his attention or whatever, but I see somebody in the picture that's not maybe giving you bad advice or whatever, but this guy seems to be like I'm getting that he's a nice person and that things between you guys are going to work out and that it's a good match. And it could be a long term. I think that you've had things on your mind. Like, I think you're at a point in your life where you want to really settle down with somebody. And it's been causing you a lot of anxiety. And you thought about family and things like that. So I think that maybe there's people around you telling you, or, you know, sometimes other people are not jealous, but they know their relationship with you is going to change if you're involved with somebody and all that kind of thing. So I think that this guy is a nice guy and that, you know, you had a bad relationship, but we can't always let that interfere with, you know, something good that's coming along. And I know it's normal to be, you know, nervous about making the same mistakes and repeating behavior and all that kind of thing. But this guy is a nice guy, and I think that it's going to be a good relationship and a good experience for you. So I would jump in and give it a try because I think it's going to work out for you. And yeah, so it looks good, and so relationships are seems to be the, you know, a big question for everyone. And I think, you know, a lot of people seem to have, you know, at least one bad relationship in their life that kind of dictates and makes them afraid to, you know, continue on. But when we do that, we're giving up our power and we're losing, you know, we're letting the past kind of control the future. So anytime there's a bad experience like that, it's always, you know, we can use it as a lesson. You know, it's something bad, but at the same time, it's something good because it's given us a life lesson to learn. And often when we're going through something bad, I always tell people that, but it's, you know, sometimes when you're in the middle of something, it's really difficult to see what good can come out of it. But I think when you go forward into a good relationship, it makes you realize and appreciate more, you know, the good things that someone else can offer you. And I see that, Rish is saying that she's messed up a few times with certain people and she's been judged, yes, and I saw that around you there. And yes, I do, she's asking if people can forget these things over time, and yes, I do. And I think that, you know, people seem to, you know, I remember last week's show we talked a little bit about gossip and things like that. You know, people seem to really thrive on pointing fingers at other people and, you know, gossiping. And often it's a distraction for their own pain that they have and their own stuff that they're going through. And, you know, so, but it does take some time, and you just have to realize that you're a wonderful person and that, you know, people are judging you from the outside. It's their perception of things, and they don't always know, and they never really know the whole story, or they don't know you as a person or an individual. And, you know, you're a great person, and so I know it's hard not to be affected by what people think and what people say, and you know when people aren't approving and stuff. But there's always going to be people like that, and it mightn't be as bad in other situations as it is right now. But you know, we are going to be affected by negative people, and we just can't let negative people like that get us down. So you know, live your life for yourself and try not to worry about others and what they think, and just be happy, you know. And often when people direct negativity at us, like, you know, you're getting right now, is that they're unhappy themselves. And so, you know, you kind of look at people and it's hard to be compassionate towards them because they're giving you a hard time, but you have to realize that, you know, they're not happy people, and they're kind of, you know, pointing fingers and doing all that because, you know, they themselves are not, you know, have something missing in their life, so they're looking outside themselves to, you know, be happy, or to, you know, they may be a little bit jealous that they see other people that are happy like yourself, and, you know, they wish that they were. You know, there's things like that that, you know, drives people to act the way that they do. So I think that's some of what's happening with you and your situation and the people around you, you know. And, you know, we all make mistakes. You say you've messed up a couple of times, and you know, I've messed up many, many, many times, and, you know, I think I've learned from my mistakes, and same thing. I mean, you don't always, you know, we're not perfect, and, you know, we're all human, and we do stuff, and we have to forgive ourselves and move on. And I think that, you know, that just have to worry about how you feel about yourself and not to worry about so much what other people think. And I see too, you said your previous relationships have been major flop. The last two people ended up breaking your heart, and I want to know the reason why they did that. And again, I think, you know, it's because they weren't happy, and you know, we always, it is personal, because when somebody breaks our hearts, I mean, it's our heart that's breaking, so it is personal. But often it's something within them that they're not satisfied with themselves, and they have to seek happiness elsewhere. And they often, people that do things, you know, break other people's hearts, they may not be aware that they're doing that. So I don't think that they were aware One person in particular, I don't think he was aware that he did that, but I think that these people had issues that they had to deal with, and you know, it's about their weaknesses and their limitations, and it's not about you, you know. So I think you just have to see the good side of these people, and that it was a learning experience again, and move on, and you know, you're in a good situation now where you're meeting somebody that's a good person, and it's, you know, opening up a new part of your life for you, and I think you just need to enjoy it. And from what I've sensed here, I mean, it is going to be a good experience for you, and just leave the past behind and move forward and ignore those pointing, shaking fingers. So I hope that helps you. And I'm going to give out so Rich, thank you again for your question in the chat room, and I'm going to read out the dial-in number again, just in case anybody wants to call in for a reading. And our call-in number tonight is 724-444-4851. And again, when you call, we're just like anywhere else, nobody answers the phone. You're put on hold, and you just relax and listen to the show while you're waiting. And you'll be able to speak to us as soon as you get on the air. And when you do call and ask a question, be specific with your questions, and that will help us focus in and answer your question directly. And I just want to say that I really enjoyed the show tonight. It was my first time hosting, and the topic, like I said, was of great personal interest to me, because I do meditation, and I when I first started to hear about hypnosis, I noticed that, you know, hypnosis and meditation had a lot in common. Like Anthony said, you know, hypnosis, someone is guiding you, and in meditation, a lot of times it's you're guiding yourself. So I thought, you know, it's something that I would like to look into further, and I think that you know, other people have had experiences with hypnosis, which is wonderful, and I plan to get hypnotized and be hypnotizing at the same time. So did anybody else have any comments about tonight's show?
It was a great show.
It was excellent. No, I am sorry. You did a great job, Nancy. I really think, and you're such a calm, and you have a lot of calmness to you, which I appreciate, because I'm a little bit hyper.
Well, again, thank you, and I really enjoyed it, and I have this image now of the Pied Piper stuck in my head, and
it's a good one. That's a good one. That was really good, I have to admit, touche for you. So,
and when you talked about the chickens too, I think they used to hypnotize them to make them lay more eggs or something. Did you read that anywhere?
I didn't find out exactly what their objective was with those poor chickens, but I can only say this, maybe the egg or the chicken or the rooster or the bull come before each other. I don't know. Oh my gosh. I was trying to step in on that one.
I'm gonna hypnotize the slot machine.
Yeah.
To produce more money.
That would be smart. That would be nice. That would be nice. I think I'll do that. I live in San Diego. They have all the, you know, great Harrah's and all the casinos out there. I'm going to go. No, I won't. Anyway, so did you want me to talk about the show for next week yet, or are we up to that time? Am I right or wrong? I don't know.
You can. Sure, yeah. What's on tap for next week?
Okay, next week is something that, well, because I'm in California, everybody, that doesn't know that already, but next week we have Earthquake Prediction. It's actually the man who predicts Earthquake, but the title is called Earthquake Prediction, yes. And it is, I'm sorry. Anyway, the special guest is Jim Berkland. He's a world-renowned geologist and author, and I have known of him for like 20,000 years. But In an interview published on October 13, 1989, one day before the start of the baseball 1989 World Series, Berglund predicted that an earthquake with a magnitude between 3.5 and 6.0 would occur in San Francisco Bay Area and between October 14th to the 21st, and the 6.9 magnitude earthquake did hit, and it occurred on October 17th, just before the start of the third game of the series. And I remember that earthquake, as a matter of fact. And so Berglund claims the government officials told him not to make any more predictions, fearing mass panic, and he was suspended for 2 months from his Santa Clara County geology position in late October. So he's quite an interesting fellow, and I think everybody will really want to hear about this. And knowing that I'm in California, if you like me at all as a person, you'd want to hear about this in case something's happened. And I live at the beach where we have signs with tsunami warnings, okay? So there you have it. And I say goodnight with that one.
Okay. Well, on that note, that brings us to the end of yet another wonderful show. And thank you to Doug, who works behind the scenes and keeps us on track as our executive producer. And thank you to my co-host for joining me tonight. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
And as you heard, you're very welcome. And it was, like I said, my first time hosting, and you guys made it very easy for me. Thank you. And as you heard, next week's show will be anchored by Maureen on earthquake predictions. And again, to everyone listening and everyone in the chat room, thank you for being with us tonight. And we'll all say goodbye.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have fun.
Nighty night.